Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends, and happy Easter. Jesus Christ is Lord, and I hope you're able to really drink in and rejoice in the truth that the church brings to us in a way that transforms your heart and mind, that you can see the great treasure, the beauty, and the majesty of Jesus, the Father's precious and beloved Son, who alone has power and authority to be able to save this race of people to which we belong. The biggest thing happening in the world today is not the politics, it's not the finances, it's not the comforts, it's not, you know, the new technologies and the rest of it. I mean, that's just another phase of human life, human creation. It's not a bad thing, but it's not central. It's not central. I've been talking this week about the discipline of the Lord, the redemptive correction and discipline. You know, Scripture says that the Lord disciplines those whom He loves. And the church is in a time of tremendous purification. And we stand with the history and the tradition of the church that is expressed in the Acts of the Apostles as we're reading the suffering that's coming upon the apostles, the threats and the beatings and the jailings and the rest of it, and ultimately the martyrdom that we're going to see in the life of the apostles as they walk in the footsteps of the Master. And it's important for us to see in these readings, first of all, the victory of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. All who die in Him are victors. Nothing in this world can ultimately take away from us what matters most, and that's our eternal life and our eternal salvation. And following the footsteps of the apostles, they know everything gets taken away from them, and that's just as it was with Jesus. And they end up getting falsely accused. They get marginalized. They end up walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And Jesus said that's as it should be in the life of a disciple, and that's the way of a disciple. And here we are, friends, in the richest, wealthiest, most powerful country on that level in the history of the world, probably. We have more riches, comfort, ease of life, more stuff than anybody's ever conceived probably would be possible just a few generations ago. And yet here we are in a time of crisis in the church. Here we are at a time when the culture itself is getting more and more radicalized, like I read at the end of yesterday's program, that battle that John Paul predicted would happen. Like a prophet, he came to the country of Ireland and he laid out for them, drew a line in the sand. He said, this is exactly what you're experiencing. Your history now, your Catholic history, your Christian history is on the line. Are you going to stand for Christ? Or are you going to go the way of the world? Are you going to go the narrow way? Or are you going to go the wide way? And I don't want to repeat everything I talked about yesterday, but one of the great examples, very, very dramatic, stark contrast, then comes all these years later. John Paul said, the choice is yours. What will your choice be? What will be the Ireland of the future? Will it be an Ireland that stands for Christ, or will it be an Ireland that turns its back on Christ? And then the dramatic example of this, when Pope Francis not long ago visited Ireland and the Prime Minister of Ireland stood up and right in front of Pope Francis said, Ireland has grown up since John Paul's been here. We've modernized. Profound changes have come. We're much more diverse. We're less religious than we used to be. We've modernized our divorce laws, our contraception laws, our abortion laws, same-sex marriage, all that stuff. And we've been talking all week about Psalm 2. What does Psalm 2 say? Psalm 2 said, the kings of the earth and the rulers set themselves against the Lord and His anointed and say, let's throw off their cords that bind us. His cords. Who's that? The cords of Jesus, who comes to represent the rule of God. Let's throw off the commandments. Let's throw off the moral law. Let's go our own way. And he even said the time has come now for Ireland to build a more mature relationship between the church and the state in which religion is no longer at the center of our society. Do you see what the world is saying? That's what it means to grow up and to mature. The world is saying God's design, God's purpose, the nature God has given to us, His laws, are immature. They bind us. They don't free us. They don't represent what we believe rises to the dignity of what we're supposed to be together. God himself and God's way and ultimately his son is in the dock. People might deny it, but the only Jesus they'll accept is the Jesus who genuflects to this new diversity, is the Jesus who insists, you're right, you need to have less religion in your society. A Jesus that lets us define for ourselves what morality is, what moral boundaries are. That's what's really going on in the world. And friends, it's happening here in our own country. You're seeing it happening. Not only are we now insisting on abortion all the way in some states, all the way to birth, but as the governor of Virginia himself proposed, parents ought to be able to make a decision even after the child is born. That child is the image of God. That child is an eternal creature. That child is more important than the United States itself and all its politics and all its buildings and all its money and all its influence. But we are so blinded by our ego and our pride, and Satan has deceived us and has deceived us. And we've gotten lukewarm in the church, and we're so afraid to upset the world. We don't want to lose all the gain that we've had, our position in society, our money, our power, our comfort, our influence, our pleasure, all that. And we're stuck. Look what Jesus is permitting to have happen. He's come to purify us, because many of us, brothers and sisters, these things are idols for us. We can't imagine living without them. And we're actually living off these things more than we're living from Christ. And Pope Benedict XVI made it so clear, what is true Christian identity? He said, Christian identity is composed of precisely two elements. This restraint from seeking oneself by oneself. And he's talking about how the culture is saying, I'm living from my own center. I define for myself what's true. I have my own morality. I determine who God is. I determine what freedom means. I determine what my nature is, what my sexuality is, what marriage is, when life begins, when life should end, all of that. This is what he's speaking against from a Christian perspective. Christians, you need to know who we are as we celebrate Jesus. Now, what did Jesus die for? Jesus died so that you could receive forgiveness of your sins and live in his eternal life, to live his new life. And his life, friends, is absolute obedience to God the Father, even to the point of shedding his blood. Now we're at the point when the culture is no longer Christian. It's no longer affirming us in moving in that direction. It's now insisting that we live differently. And all kinds of people are moving in a different direction now. They're moving with the world. Why? Because we don't want to let go of our idols. We don't want to be marginalized. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to be thought badly of. We don't want to be spoken against. And here's Pope Benedict saying, here's what true Christian identity is about. Where does it come from? He said, we receive it from Christ, and then we give ourselves to Christ. How do we know who we are? Christ tells us. Where do we get our identity? From Jesus. I don't have an identity apart from Jesus, not as a Christian. Christians are not in the business of buying new identities like the rest of the world. Christ is Lord. Christ is the firstborn of the new creation. Christ is the only way of salvation. Christ reveals to us and gives us the dignity and reveals to us the dignity of who we are. Christ loves every human being. But some human beings, falling to the temptations of Satan because of our pride and our ego and our flesh, set ourselves against him, set oneself against the Lord. That's insane. It's crazy. And as King David did at the end of Psalm 2, he warned the rulers of the earth. He wasn't afraid of the rulers of the earth. He warned them, don't oppose God. Your kingdoms are little, they're nothing. It's like little tiny ants crawling on the ground. I mean, are you afraid of little ants? It's pathetic, our resistance against God and our insistence on our own pride in our own way. He said, radical belonging to Christ and the fact that we are in him must imbue in us an attitude of total trust and immense joy. In short, we must indeed exclaim with St. Paul, if God's for us, who can be against us? And it's time now, he said, to stand. As we celebrate Easter and watch the courage of the apostles, do we look like them in any way? How are we coming to terms with what we're experiencing? St. John Paul made it clear. He said at one point to a small group of people in Germany, he said this. He said, what is going to happen to our to the church? We must prepare ourselves to suffer great trials before long, such as will demand of us a disposition to give up even life and a total dedication to Christ and for Christ. With your and my prayer, it's possible to mitigate this tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it, because only thus can the church be effectively renewed. How many times has that renewal of the church sprung from blood? This time, too, it will not be otherwise. We must be strong and prepared and trust in Christ and His Mother and be very, very assiduous in praying the Rosary. Nothing can replace Christ and His call on our lives. Friends, the world is reeling. It's getting seduced to turn away from Christ. And we've been weakened spiritually by our idolatry and by our lack of dedication to Christ and putting Him first. What is most valuable? The most valuable thing? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. We've been duped and lied to. We got to have everything else first: money, comfort, prestige, place, you know, social status, fame, all the rest of it. And don't kid yourselves, many of us are pursuing these things and we're attached to them. And look what ends up happening. How many baptized of us are addicted to pornography or are unfaithful to our promises, are just radically pursuing money. We're deathly afraid of losing what we have. Even though the apostles that we're all celebrating right now in the Acts, they let go of all that. They counted it all as loss. Friends, it's hard to be detached from these things. I have to fight this every day. I'm not saying that because like I'm special, like it's amazing, I have to do it. No, I have to do it because I'm just like you. I've had deep attachments in this world. And by God's mercy, if we run together in the teaching of Christ and His church, He will set us free. And the great thing is, friends, right now, don't be surprised, like St. Peter says in his first letter, by the fiery ordeal and the trial that comes upon us. The Catechism, paragraph 672, puts it this way: this present age we're living in is a time of the Spirit and of witness, but it's also a time still marked by distress and the trial of evil, which does not spare the church. Right now, friends, the trial of evil is going on. And it's time for what? For us to follow the footsteps and the prayers of the apostles in Acts chapter 4, which began this week, the church gave us. What did they do when threats came against them? They asked for more of the Holy Spirit. Here the Catechism is reminding us, this is the time of the Spirit for what? For witness. So we can have the courage. And the apostles didn't pray to be protected. They prayed to be emboldened and to be more radical and for more anointing in the Holy Spirit. That should be your prayer. That's my prayer. Let's pray that together. Come, Holy Spirit, radicalize us, burn away the fear that's in Peter Herbeck from top to bottom, and purify me and give me your anointing. So in this time of distress and trial, I can be like Peter and Paul and Saint Cecilia and all the saints who've stood for you in times of trial. That's the love Jesus is calling forth from us now. And Peter said, when we do that, the glory of the Lord is upon us. Let's not miss that, friends. Hope you can tune in next week. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.